It was 4 weeks ago that you first heard Elisa Di Benedetto, co-managing director of the International Association of Religion Journalists, on our show. At the time, Italy was the epicenter of the global pandemic and a possible model of what was to come in the United States, both medically and culturally. Well, a month later, that has indeed come to pass. But what about Italy in the meantime? I'm very grateful to be able to ask that question and many others, because it's my pleasure to welcome Elisa Di Benedetto back to our program. Elisa, since we talked in the past, I have thought a lot about you and what was going on in your life and what you were seeing and feeling. And I thank you so much for agreeing to be with us again today.
Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for thinking of Italy.
Well, I want to know how you're doing. I'm sure this has not been an easy month by any means. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing well. It's just still very, very strange. I mean, I'm not sure we can get used to this situation, even if it's over 1 month now. We're still struggling, and we don't know when it will end, if it will end, how life will be after this. So it's a very unusual and surreal situation.
Elisa, what are the biggest struggles?
Okay, if we think about everyday life, you know, we are still under lockdown. And for example, now there was a new decree by the government. And then besides that, there are some regional restrictions and ordinances. So we are under lockdown, and it looks like it will last until the 3rd of May. But it could last longer. We don't know at the moment what will happen. So people are a bit tired of the situation, of course, because there is this feeling of isolation and uncertainty. They don't know how long it will last, and they don't know whether they will go back to their life before the coronavirus. And there is a psychological impact of the lockdown. Like now they are concerned about health, but also about the economic effect situation. Now, for example, with the latest decree that was 2 days ago, it looks like the government is currently planning to implement phase two of lockdown, meaning that there will be less restrictions, maybe, and gradually they will reopen some shops, companies, and so on. For example, this week, some stores reopened with restrictions in terms of opening days and times. But for example, shops selling clothes for babies and children, they reopened. In my region, also bookstores are open now. And that's a big difference compared to last week, for example. But we have to follow the quarantine anyway. And current restrictions include wearing a mask and gloves or having a sanitizer when we go out. And they are compulsory when we access shops. For example, we still need to have a certification with us when we go out. I mean, we need to have this paper where we are stating why we are not at home. And the police is controlling. And over last week, for example, there were many controls. and especially on Easter, at Easter weekend, because they expected many people to move and go out as they were used to do.
Yeah. How are the people around you handling the fatigue and the frustration? Are the people around you showing that? How are they handling it?
I see there is a lot of frustration around me, and I live in a very small town. But for example, when I go out for my weekly shopping to buy some food for me and my mother, and that's the only time when I meet people. Mm-hmm. And I see people queuing outside the shops. I mean, most people now, they are trying to cope with that. But I see they're always checking what other people are doing, for example. Also, for example, on social media, they are reporting people who are not respecting restrictions. So there is this feeling now that, like, someone is not behaving the way they should, so we have to report the behavior, and this is not a nice feeling. But I also see a lot of solidarity and many people taking care of other people, and that's good. Mm-hmm. And I think this is increasing now. So there's a lot of frustrations, but also, even if we can't live as a community, we can't meet, we can't gather, but I still feel the community. I mean, the community is there in a different way, but you can feel it.
Yes.
Despite the frustration and people, they are tired. We can't say they are not.
Religion is so central to much of Italian culture, especially at Easter time. What was Holy Week like this year?
It was something very unique. And on a religious perspective, I believe the picture of Pope Francis standing alone in St. Peter's Square, it's emblematic. That's what everybody will remember about Holy Week, I believe.
Yeah.
For the first time in history, the Vatican was not open to the public for the Holy Week and the rituals, also the Stations of the Cross and everything. And this is something I've never expected it would happen. So it was an unprecedented change in the way the faithful experience religion, I believe. And also the church accepted some limitation of its activities that never happened before. And that was, I mean, that was something unique as well. So people that couldn't attend the rituals, they couldn't attend the celebrations. But on the other hand, I was reading yesterday some quotes from priests and bishops about this situation, and several of them were saying that there was an increase in the online attendance. So someone suggested to keep once they will be able to start holding celebrations in the church again and with people attending them. They suggested to continue holding some online services because it looks like there are people who are enjoying them, and maybe they were not attending church before, but they do now in a virtual way. So this is just to say how things are changing, and also the creativity priests but also faithful had during this time. Since the very beginning, churches were not closed to the public. So the thing is that they suspended the rituals, the mass, the services, and so on. But churches have always been open. The problem is that, especially during the Holy Week, in some towns there were some Sunday services, for example, and people gathered in the church. So it happened that police entered churches, and they issued fines to the people taking part in the ceremony, in the service, and because they were not respecting the restrictions. So that could seem a little bit kind of controversial, but there were this situation in several towns in Italy where nor the priest nor the faithful respected the restrictions, and they were fined for that.
As you may know, we are experiencing that in the United States right now. You hold a leadership position at the International Association of Religion Journalists. We've seen some governments restrict freedom of the press in the name of public safety. When all of this is over, what will be needed to happen to restore journalistic freedom where it is most critically important?
Well, that's a big issue, and that's a big concern too, because we are seeing the way journalism has been affected by coronavirus for many different point of views, from a psychological point of view, and also talking about the organization of newsroom and news outlets, and the way journalists are working now, the conditions they are facing, and especially freelancers, reporters in the front line, and so on. And on the one hand, journalism is considered as something very important. For example, in Italy, they didn't close shops where they sell newspapers, because information is considered very, very important now. On the other hand, and we see it in several countries, there were restrictions on press freedom and on the way journalists are working. And this is what is worrying now, especially, as you said, if you think about the future. I think there will be many different situations, as we can see that now, and we will have to work a lot to make sure that the freedom journalists are supposed to have, because they don't have it now, not everywhere, it has to be granted. And I believe this will require a big effort, not only from journalists, but also from readers and institutions and all those organizations who are fighting for the right to information, to inform people, and for people to be informed.
Well, I'm glad that you're there to be a part of that and to have your voice heard and your influence experienced. Elisa Di Benedetto is co-managing director of the International Association of Religion Journalists. You can find out more about their work at the IARJ.org. She spoke to us from northern Italy, the earliest European epicenter of COVID-19 infections, which has been under severe restrictions since early March. Elisa, it's great to talk with you again. Please stay safe, and thanks so much for being with us once more on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me, and stay safe.